Good evening. Welcome to Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, snuggle up, turn out your lights, something else I forgot, and press play on the podcast. Maybe brush your teeth or if you have an animal, let them out to go to the bathroom. Make sure the oven's off, that's always important. Or whatever, just do that stuff, get in bed, press play on this podcast, and we'll do the rest. Now, the way the podcast works is we create a safe place via bedtime story where you can put aside any thoughts or worries that are keeping you up. And as you're distracted from that, you're going to slowly drift off into dreamland. And the reason you're going to do that is because the story gets a little bit more and more boring as it goes along. So that's how it works. Turn on the podcast and hopefully I help you fall asleep. If this is your first time here, I hope it helps you. If you're here and you suffer from sleep difficulty, I hope this podcast helps. That's the whole idea behind it. You can find us on the web at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. On Twitter, at Dearest Scooter. And if you have any questions, you can let me know on Twitter or feedback at sleepwithmepodcast.com. I think that's it for the official mishmash of stuff. Now I have two thank yous to send out. One is to Diana. I'm not sure if there's any other pronunciations. I think you're from the UK, and you put a nice comment on our... And thank you for your nice comment on our blog, and I'm glad you're listening to this podcast, and it's helping you keep your mind off of anything that's worrying you or keeping you down. So thank you, Diana. Again, I'm terrible with pronunciation and names, and let me butcher another name. Clara. One of those. And right somewhere outside of Lisbon, Portugal. Thank you. She put up a blog post about the podcast, and I'm going to be I tried to comment on the blog post, but I don't speak Portuguese, and for some reason, it was like I lost the whole comment. So don't worry. Probably by the time you're listening, hopefully I'll have something on your blog. But thank you so much for mentioning us on your blog post, and hopefully this podcast is helping you, or you don't like the podcast and you're just saying it in Portuguese, but I think you like it and I'm glad you do. And I'm glad it helps you sleep or bores you or whatever. And I will put a link to your blog in our show notes. So thank you, Clara, Diana, and Diana for being so wonderful. And I record a lot of these episodes in the evening after a day of work and stuff. And I was really looking forward to recording tonight's podcast because I'm, like, beat. And I had a long day. But it's weird, like, because I can feel, I don't know. I was really looking forward to spending some time with you guys, even though you're not here with me. You'll be listening to this podcast 3-4 days from now. I don't know. I'm feeling something. And I'm, like, the most unfeeling person in the world. That's a big claim, but, you know, I don't know. So thank you for listening to this podcast and participating with me, because I'm also someone that doesn't normally look forward to stuff, and I'm kind of a perfectionist. I'm like, oh, man, but you know, normally it's one of those counterintuitive things. Like, normally sometimes the podcast is a lot of work, and it seems like work, but tonight I was beaten. Instead of being like, oh, God, I got to record that podcast for those nut jobs that can't sleep, I was like, man, I can't wait to record that podcast. Just heard from Diana, Clara, and Clara. So thank you for those of you that do give me feedback. And for those of you that just listen, you don't have to give me feedback if you don't want, or if you whatever. Thank you for listening, even. I can feel something from you. I'm not kidding. And this is from a person who has a Grinch-like heart, the Grinch before Christmas, before he stole Christmas. So thank you. all of you again. I think I said thank you, but I don't think I can say it enough. I really appreciate every single one of you that listens to this podcast. And I hope from the bottom of my heart that 70 sizes too small, that it is helping you sleep, or that you're just enjoying it and it's making your day go a little bit better. And I don't mean to get all, whoa, I'm going on the emotion train here, but I saw someone on the train today coming home from work, and they were visibly upset. They weren't crying. But you know when you can see someone in there in some kind of emotional pain? And I didn't feel like it was appropriate to just say to this woman, like, hey, I wish I knew what to say, you know? And to just, like, be like, wow, I see you suffering. I kind of tried to send out some Zen-like Buddhist-type thing to her, vibration-wise. But it was like, oh, I wish I knew how to break the ice here. But something about being able to come back home, I mean, maybe that's why I was looking forward to doing the podcast. And I know everyone, you see people, you see that look on their face, like, and then, of course, my imagination starts going, did she, you know, what happened? Was it just an immediate traumatic event, or bad news, or breakup? Should I move in? but then I have the opportunity to come here and send out something, because maybe one or two of you are in that kind of pain. Or something similar. I mean, because I know I was when I couldn't sleep. It was crippling emotional pain. So, I don't know. That's what I mean when I say thank you. Is that, again, counterintuitive, paradox. And I'm not sure. You guys are a lot smarter than me. But it's like one of those things. And I never bought into this. And I'm not saying I'm helping you in some woo. But wow, this symbiotic thing, this synergy we have going, whatever it is, it's great. So thanks. And now I've had another, I was really on a track there to have a short intro, but let's get to the show. Thanks. We're back with another episode of Get Bissos, the tale of Richard Warren Sears and James Cash Penny's escape from purgatory and return to Earth in a quest for vengeance against Jeff Bissos, internet entrepreneur and founder of Amazon.com. Older episodes can be found on our website at www.sleepwithmepodcast.com/getbesos, GETBSOS, because this is all fictional, a historical fan fiction. When we last left off, Richard Warren Sears had just been through this whole Bright's disease drama with someone on a subway in hell that apparently was his son. Forgot his son Wesley. That's how much I'm listening to RW's problems. What was your son's name again? Wesley. His son was suffering from Bright's disease, and he tried to save him, and then Gorebelly showed up. So let's see what's going on right now, somewhere in hell or somewhere else that's like hell or whatever. And another episode of Get Bissos. Hiya! As we open up tonight's episode, James Cash Penny is standing in the entrance of the room with the neon and the chrome and all that that contained the power switch on and off and the alarm on and off. But the tower that, or as I pictured in my head, a tower or a pillar with, you know, switch on one side for the power and the switch on the other side for the alarm and the beeping and the swirling lights. It's smoldering because it's been smashed. The control panel's been destroyed. James Cashpenny's just looking at it. And what RW didn't notice was on the back wall, or at least he didn't tell us about this, is a clock. Probably one of those cool clocks that you see. I don't know what kind of filament or element clock counting down, almost like a digital analog combo counting down. And it's got, I don't know, 12 minutes left on it, let's say. Just counting down and James is kind of picking through the smoldering rubble, trying to connect wires. I mean, he's not definitely no electrician, but he's trying to stick wires together. And he's just like, jeez, man. He's beside himself. Now, you might be asking, whoa, how'd we get here, man? Last we left off, James had just been said good day to the giants and the stag men, whatever they were called. Chiron, I think, was one of them. I don't know what the stag men called. I'll think of it at some point. Horse men that are horses. But what, the horsemen? Yeah, stag men, I called them. And that was right the first time. But I don't know what the Greeks called them or the Romans at this moment. But so you might be wondering, how'd James get here? And it's a good question. But, you know, I got an answer. I just wanted to do like a little non-linear action to spice it up. Spice up our romance, you know? Instead of just doing it in order, I decided to do it out of order. But it's also because a lot of stuff happened and we got to kind of get through it, because otherwise this will drag on forever. And that might be great for you because it's helping you sleep, but at some time, just like this relationship metaphor, you're going to get tired of this James Cash Penny. Well, maybe not. I mean, he seems like a suave guy, heroic. He's got a lot of good qualities, not a lot of bad. I'd say, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying there's going to be a Get Bezos movie, but maybe Bradley Cooper? I don't know. What do you think? Let me know. But James is great. But so how did he get here is what you're asking. Why are you talking nonsense? How did he get here? He went through this whole thing because he took the long way, the gloom. Remember, there was a path and RW took the short way. It said short way doom, long way gloom. So James got there, and believe it or not, he was like, thought it was a trick sign, which it may have been. I don't know. It's hell. So he takes the long way gloom, gets in there, and then it starts being a long way. He's just walking and walking. He's like, you know what, forget this. I'm going back. I'm going to take the short way, the doom way, instead of this gloom, because he was feeling gloomy. He's like, how long am I going to be walking? Like, can you imagine I'm supposed to be the hero of the story or the hero of my story? It's probably what he's saying to himself. Or, well, I'm no hero, but maybe heroes don't even think like that. Maybe he's just like, I'm in a hurry here. And if I got to just be walking through miles of tunnel, hell's going to get nuked. And RW might lose his life. And I got to save the world. And, you know, plus I don't want to just get nuked out of existence. And who knows? There's also probably a fear factor. I mean, I'm using the word nuke. Clearly, heaven's not going to be using nuclear weapons. They've got something much more powerful, be it fire and brimstone from the old days, but probably something more modern. I don't know, would they send? I mean, they wouldn't even need nanobots. I mean, I guess they could just send down, like, well, those archangels with some flaming sword. The archangel, you know, whatever, it's not important. So James takes the gloom, gets gloomy, goes back. Turns out the door closed behind him, and he didn't even know there was a door. So he can't even the door closed. I don't know. He couldn't get there. So then he goes across the threshold again, goes back into the doom, or the gloom. Excuse me, I get confused. Goes all the way back, retraces the steps. On top of all this gloomy walking. Then he ends up in this giant dark cave, and it's pitch dark in there, and he's wandering around. He feels lost, and it's like the night's descended on him, and he loses all. I mean, this is really fast stuff. Both, I'm going to make it fast, but also, you know, time seems non-linear, sped up or something. So he's in this cave, loses all hope, regains hope, loses, you know, finds, have I descended into darkness? This whole, like his soul, like almost like the Dark Knight's descended on his soul and, you know, finds a spark of hope inside him. As soon as he does, boom, finds a way out of that cave, belly-like cave, like almost like a belly of a whale, but we already have a belly of a whale in this story, so not a belly of a whale. Then all of a sudden the cave turns into this road, a tunnel road, I guess, maybe for them to move freight through hell, whatever. It's empty, but then James starts running into all these trials and travails, mostly centered around the golden rule and meeting people that didn't think James treated him with the golden rule, or people putting him in golden rule positions to try to throw him off his bigger task. And he's trying to say, you know, like an old woman's trying to cross the road with a bunch of ducks, and she's afraid that the truck's going to come, and he's trying to tell her there's no truck. And he's like, are you buying time for hell? You know, those type of travails, whatever. It was a road of literal trials. And he's like wondering if he should give up. How long is this? Did Megan even complete my mission? Finally gets through that, this road. Next thing you know, he goes into this weird, another cave where he runs into this woman. He feels like he's in a dream. And then the woman turns out to be his mother, and she's like, oh, James, you know, why? You know, giving this whole nine yards. And his mom's like, oh, we should stop this journey and this whole nonsense, and why, you know, this your friend is no good, and giving him, you know, the guy I told you. And then he's like, Mom, that has a different friend, and why, you know, why would you try to help? You can't help everyone, James. Oh, my boy. Why are you always trying to help everybody? Why can't you listen to your mother? Don't you love your mother? Why, you know, again with the bad guy, and you know, everything was just fine in purgatory. Why'd you have to go and mess it up? And when you were gonna get married and not tell me? Well, you know, he's like, oh, Mama. She's like, oh no, just come with your mother. Just come with. And you know, he says he's like, this has got to be. I'm losing my mind. He says, Mom, I love you. You know, you're the best. Oh, I'll just, from now on, Mom, I'm going to listen to you. From this point on, Mom, I swear, I'm going to do everything by your book. And feel, oh, that's it. I can rest now. Boom. And then he goes into the next room. His dad's there. He's like, what is this? And he's starting to wonder if he re-died and this is some sort of thingamajig or what kind of journey. What is this journey I'm on? It's not making any sense. This is a whole, you know, I got more to do. This is just supposed to be this one tiny part. See, obviously, this is why I skipped it and just went to head to the thing, right? But I'm trying to get you to sleep anyway, so I might as well tell you all this nonsense. But so his dad is like, oh, his dad's all mad at him. And he's like, I got a lot of stuff on my mind about you, you know, son of a, you know. He said something degrading. Son of a preacher. So I don't even. But they get in. They don't get into it. He's just yelling at James. And James is like, okay, Father, Pop. What were you most mad about? Oh, remember I used to make that dollhouses. I love to make the dollhouses. And he goes, you made one dollhouse. Well, it don't matter. And he said, you smashed that thing up. He said, I built it and you smashed it. I didn't even give it to anybody. And James said, you know what? You're right. You're right. There was a lot of times in my life where I was careless and lacking in empathy. And you know, even when this was pre-golden rule, before I became obsessed with the golden rule. But you're right. You know, I was not thinking about how other people would feel. And he goes, be honest, Father, I never even thought about how you would feel. Or, you know, now thinking about all the work you put into that doll. What? Why were you making a dollhouse? Don't ask me why I'm making a dollhouse. You're the one who wrecked it, and you wrecked my spirit. And James was like, you know, wow, Papa, like, I should have thought of it from your perspective, how much love and care and time you put into this treehouse, and I was wrong, and I should have respected you, and I should have learned from you. I should have learned from your mistakes. But why did you say to me? And he goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so, you know, can you forgive me? I was wrong. Totally wrong. And I need your forgiveness. What can I do to atone for this with you, Father? Atone for this trashing of the dollhouse and the other nonsense. Well, you know, because I could see why it makes sense you're mad at me. And no one really thought about it from your perspective. You just built a dollhouse and this kid trashes it. You know, what a bummer, huh? Oh, yeah, it was a bummer. It hurt me. Did you do it on, I didn't even do it on purpose, but I could see why you'd feel that. Like, that I was smashing you, trying to get back at you for being a bad dad. But that's not true, Dad. I was just, like, bored. And I saw it, and I said, yeah, what happened was I dove onto it. Like, I pretended I was a giant. I was playing. And I was just lost in my play. I wasn't thinking about anybody but being this giant smashing this house. And now that it's weird because I was this mean, bad giant. I've met giants, and now I know they're in hell. So probably got not a best idea of a giant. But I smashed it, Dad. So I could see why that. I can totally, you know, can you forgive me? I think I can. I really feel relieved by this whole thing. Like, you understood my pain. Yeah, this is kind of like what I learned from the Golden Rule and from a lot of other horrible mistakes I've made, including in the past, post-death mistakes that I continue to make. But, all right, but I'm sorry. I hope we cross paths again, but I got to keep moving here. And then James, boom, done with his father. There's a couple other things that happened, but they were kind of not as just dull stuff. I think at some point he had a boon, like some sort of supernatural weapon, but then he did have that supernatural Gluttony stuff, so, you know, I don't know. So he gets through all that, done with his father, and that's where we're back where we started. We're back to the linear thing, missionary position, whatever you want to call it. And James is in this room with this broken console to shut off the alarm to hell. And he's like, man, I'm not going to be able to shut off. I'm not going to be able to turn the power back on. What don't we? Oh, man. And he says, all right, James, just been through a lot today. Or whatever. Yesterday and today. I don't know. Take a breath. Remember what that wise man told you that we met in the tunnel that we didn't talk about, but you know, he said just concentrate on your belly breathing or whatever it was. And James says, okay. Oh, my belly. He's like, wow, my belly actually does. Oh, my belly does move. I never noticed that. Yeah. Breathe. Like a little balloon there. Oh, now I feel a lot better. Look around the room here. Wait a second, what is that? Is that trail of something? Weird. It looks like tears. Like water droplets. Yeah, that's a trail of tears. Not a metaphorical one. Like, those are actual tear tails. Tear trails. Terry makes tear trails with tea 10 times. Today. So, yeah, let me follow these let me follow these tear trails. Yeah, they go. And James starts following these tear trails. And meanwhile, the countdown. Now, the countdown hasn't moved since, I mean, it's maybe moved a minute since, because while we were doing that whole flashback thing. So James files, okay, this trail goes down through this door, down this, okay, and James starts jogging, he's following this, what is it, who could have left these tear trails, trail of tears, I recognize this, these are Sears loafers, penny loafer tracks. And James picks up his pace, he's running. Then he runs. I mean, he doesn't literally run into a stone, giant stone wall, but the trail does. And clearly, it, like, just ends at the wall. So now, Hans Zimmer at Gorbelli, maybe he didn't see the tear someone was leaving a trail of tears. Maybe RW didn't leave it. Maybe his son was crying. And actually, that might make more sense. Let me picture it in my head. Like, RW, let me try to put my, do a little empathy for RW. RW maybe was squeezing his son's kidney. Because it's like, what am I going to leave as a trail for James? Because they didn't have candy or popcorn or stones or bread. Hansel and Gretel, the original leaving a trail in the forest team. So maybe he's just squeezing his son's kidney so his son would cry. And actually, I'm not sure what causes. I don't even think Bright's disease is a real disease anymore, that it's more of a, was a catch-all word for stuff back then. But maybe he's squeezing his son's kidneys, and maybe it's a kidney problem. And, like, so not only is his son crying, but some of the, this is kind of, it's not graphic because they're dead. So, I mean, if you're thinking it's graphic, it's because you're thinking of human beings. But so maybe, like, some sort of, it's crystallizing the tears too. Whatever would cause kidney stones could get into the tear ducts. Trust me on this one. If I was a hepatometrist, so. So, yeah, that's, if you're like, some sort of expert on how stuff happens in movies, whatever you call that, a gotcha person. Don't got me. I got you, see? That's where the trail of tears. But the point was, I got distracted, is that ends at this wall. Now, Gorbelli might not have seen that trail of tears, but he's like, oh, well, we're going through this wall somehow. And, you know, Gorbelli's pretty sharp, so he's like, no one's going to follow me. Now, what Gorbelli probably might not have known if he slipped up, or one of his slip-ups, is that, this is clearly some sort of secret passage. At some point, James Cash Penny, became one of those people that was obsessed with secret passages, much like general child fantasy or male fantasy. Again, you guys got to let me know, like the lava fantasy I was talking about, but is that a male thing or a child thing? Like love of, like dreaming of owning a house with secret passages, you know, moving bookcases and all that. So James is like that, but as an adult. And then even when he died, one of his hobbies post-death was keeping up on, like, Winchester Mystery House, people like that, that have multiple safe rooms. I think there was that movie with Jodie Foster and Forrest Whitaker, or were there two separate movies about rooms with safe houses? And I think there was a movie that came out last summer with Ethan Hawke, maybe. Does that sound right? Is Ethan Hawke a person? This is the brain you're dealing with here, but is that Ethan Hawke? I don't know. James Cash Penny loves secret passages and secret buttons and hidden puzzle boxes, hiding stuff in books. And if you worked for Sears, if you worked for James Cash Penny directly, you would know, like, he was constantly, like, joking around and putting stuff in canes and putting stuff in the legs of desks. And so Gorbelli could not have predicted that the one time he goes through a secret door, the guy he leaves behind is, like, a secret door fanatic. So James gets this thing, and he's like, oh, this has got to be some secret door, probably giant. And he starts, like, wondering, you know, he stands back, and he's like, okay, I'm dealing with Hans Zimmer Gorbelli, so this has got to have some trap. This has got to be booby-trapped, and it's got to have, like, a multi-stage activation and probably some verification or a code word or a secret, you know, punching, like Goonies. We're in advanced Goonies territory. One-Eyed Willy. I mean, think about all that stuff that One-Eyed Willy put in to protect his gold. We're talking about Hans Zimmer Gorbelli. But Hans Zimmer Gorbelli has met his Hans Zimmer Gorbelli's Secret Passage met its nemesis. So again, we don't need to go into all the details. And I don't know why I'm distracted a little bit. I'm like, man, this maybe is like a Dungeons and Dragons scenario, like where James would be like the thief, where he has like the power to deactivate traps. So James starts deactivating and he's moving rocks and whatever, you know, turning rocks, and most of it involves rocks and realigning rocks and pushing rocks and pulling rocks and sticking his hand in rocks. And he's really having the time of his life, and he's doing like a running commentary because at this point he's aware that, you know, there's impending doom coming, that he's like down to 8, 7, 6 minutes. And then he's almost finished. Like, he's got this lock figured out. He's just got to hit this one more. It's like a twister situation where he's got to hit one with his elbow and one with his toe. There's two rocks at the same time. But if he does that, he knows this door is going to open. It's going to be pretty big. And then he's like, wait a second. He's like running this like Olympic commentary, like with the stag men and the giants and stuff. He's like, wait a second. Those people are going to get nuked by heaven. He starts thinking about all the people he met in hell that weren't so bad. Like, the guy with the skiff, plate glass, and his girlfriend, and the Furies, that guy that liked Who's the Boss, Medusa, the Minotaur, the gambling Minotaur. And he's like, man, this, something about him. And it goes beyond, like, a normal morality, but he's kind of like, man, is this wrong? I know these people are in hell, but... And he's James Cashpenny. I couldn't put myself in his shoes to try to make this decision. But he turns back, and he runs back through the thing. This time, he goes, takes a short doom train, and then end up there's a train going the other direction. He hops on the train, he runs back up to that level of hell. He tells the horsemen and the giants and all his people they gotta come with him. Like, what do you mean? He's like we literally got like 4 minutes until hell is gone. And he's like, you gotta send some people up and get the people that like having sex with in gluttony. He's like, I met some, you know, people that have sex with Kate. He goes, get everybody. And it somehow, again, you're used to some sort of time's elastic in hell. Okay, let's put it simply. But you still got to move. It's not, you know, frozen. But so, I mean, I don't know how else to put it, but James Cashpenny runs through hell with the giants. He's riding one of the Chiron with the human feet and the horse feet. And kind of, he's like the Paul Revere of hell. He's like, oh, come on, everybody out of hell. Hey, you, sullen and wrathful, get out of that river. Stop fighting. And believe it or not, maybe it's the powers out in hell. Maybe it's that these people have retained some sort of consciousness of their past lives or their current life in hell, and they don't want to like they don't want to lose it. That, I mean, common sense would say, just wipe me out if I'm going to be in hell. And maybe there's like a hell fatigue we've kind of touched on a little bit of, like, well, I've been in hell so long, it's like, whatever it is. They're like, this guy, I'm following him. This guy's taking me out of hell. And it's kind of like a mass exodus. Very, and because of the giants, probably, that are like, they love James. I mean, they loved R.W., but James is like, James Cashpenny. He's the cash man. Anybody that would even think about raising an objection or stepping out of line, I mean, they got a giant to deal with. And again, we didn't get into the giants, but there's like a giant with 1,000 hands. If a giant with 1,000 hands, even if you see that, it's going to boggle your mind. And you're going to stop acting out. So James gets everybody down there, and the Giants are making space, and it's kind of like this Noah's Ark, or, well, I don't know if it's a Noah's Ark type situation, but they take the, James kind of giving the Giants directions, so the Giants are blasting through walls. Finally, they get down to the level of hell, where they go past the power thing, and that's still down. Then they got like about, they got enough time, 90 seconds hell, in Earth time. Hell time, that's time for every resident of hell that was paying attention. Now, whew, if you're one of the people in like a flaming tomb or with your head stuck deep in the sand and no one tapped you on the shoulder, you're probably still up there in hell. Like, what if you were one of, I'm not sure what's vice or what's sin or whatever it is that where you have to stick your head in the ground for eternity. Probably leering. Yeah. Leerers. Lecherous. I don't know if, like, they might have to stick their head in the ground and probably look at stuff. Probably some bad stuff happens to your eyeballs when you're down there. But can you imagine that? No one tapped you on, like, what if you were, like, that's when you're supposed to be nice to your neighbor, even if your situation is bad. Like, the people that were courteous to their neighbor when they were in the leering hell. It's like, hey, buddy, no one tapped you on the shoulder. Come on. Hell's about to get nuked. And then there's one guy that was, like, rude to everybody. He's still sitting there. And then I'm pretty sure there's, like, a flaming tomb. I'm not sure. Again, like, a lot of this is, like, Dante Alighieri territory that got, I mean, Simony. I'm not even sure. I think that's, like, selling religious favors. I don't know what has a flaming tomb. But if you're in a flaming tomb, it's probably hard to hear. Because if you're already in a tomb, most tombs, I assume, are made out of some sort of sandstone or concrete marble type thing. And then it's flaming. So you already have something that's pretty fairly soundproof. And that's, and if it's burning like an eternal flame, you don't have to ask the Bengals, who's the lead singer of the Bengals, but Susanna Hoff, what, you know, if it's burning an eternal flame, it's going to be pretty freaking loud. So, yeah, those people might not have got out, all of them. I mean, but majority of hell got out. And, wow, good idea or bad idea, James Cashpenny? I don't know. This is where he's like, I don't know. But he's got everybody down there. And then it's his time to shine. Because everyone's like, whoa, what do you mean, man? You brought us this big door. And like, we see the trail of tears. Like, it's, and then they're like, are you? And then people start getting agitated. Like, did you bring us down here? Is this you messing with us, huh? You messing with us? This is a new kind of hell? Which would be pretty creative from Mr. Hell's point. But James is like, no, this is my time to shine, man. Check me out. And he starts deactivating this door. And then right as he's doing it, it's counting down in the other room. Bop, bop, bop. And then James opens the door. And everybody streams through this. And the door happens to be giant. So, and, you know, all these giants and all these people, sinners are horrible. I mean, all these people are streaming through. James gets everybody through, him and the Giants are shoving people and throwing people, and they get through, and they come into this giant canyon, and then James gets everybody through, and then they're all gathered around in this giant canyon, and then he gets the door shut, and the door, I mean, it was like a giant rock door. I don't know if there was metal. I'm not sure. I don't have, you know, Gorbelli's really covered his tracks, so in the notes I have, it doesn't say whether Gorbelli, I'm not sure if he's using magic or just ingenuity, but whatever, the door gets closed, and you can't hear anything on the other side, so then they're like, everybody's kind of nervous, and some people are holding each other. Believe it or not, some of the wrathful and some of the sullen are holding each other. Some of the sullen and some of the sullen are just standing next to each other, like, eh, never liked you. I'm not holding anybody, and nobody's holding me. But you got like a lot of bonding going on, and especially on that like eighth level of hell or whatever it was, seven, where all the people were overjoyed, and then people start spreading the word. They're like, wait a second, you were. And then that one guy's asking about who's the boss. And maybe even, I don't have a Who's the Boss database in my head, but he does. So he might even have a Who's the Boss episode that fits this. Like, remember the time the house started on fire and Tony ever got everybody out, but then Jonathan had to go back in for his teddy bear. And then he realized that there was a whole nother family living in the basement or something, or I don't know. And then Jonathan saved everybody. And then Tony saved Jonathan. And then Mona came home drunk. Remember that? This is just like that. I don't think that was an actual episode, but I mean, I guess it could have been. Probably was. Maybe Sam was that his daughter? Not important. So he gets everybody's out of hell. They don't know if hell's blown up or not because they got that door closed. They're in a secluded part of this giant canyon, so they can't see around the end, but they're hidden. Trail of Tears goes on to the past the corner of the canyon they can't see past. And James just says, like, okay, everybody calm down. You know, obviously it's a good thing about getting people out of hell is that you guys don't need any water and you don't need any food. I know, and then people are, and, you know, I don't want to hear one single complaint out of any of you, because not only did I get you out of hell, which probably isn't the best idea, but I got these giants. So people are pretty peaceful. And to be honest, why am I saying to be honest? People are exhausted. I mean, just being in hell, probably if you were to ever get out of hell, the first thing you'd do is lie down and get some snoozing. Because being suffering, whether deserved or undeserved, is tiring. So a lot of people start conking out. And that gives James some time to just sit back and contemplate what he's going to do next. But mostly he's contemplating this whole belly breathing. Or he's not even belly breathing, he's just observing that. Can you tell this is something I'm obsessed with lately? It's like, yeah, it's like this little, interesting. James just focused on that, kind of like a mindfulness technique. I'm not worried about how this is James Cashpenny thinking, but he's not worried about how much he's breathing, what type of breathing, any kind of magical. Just kind of observing that plastic bag or whatever it is. How it feels to have that thing. Wow, I never. It's like, oh, and he's knocking his little abdomen. Hey, is there somebody in there? He's joking around. And then one of the giants come. He's explaining the giants. And giants have lungs. Giants are semi-mammalian. I mean, I know they're fostered from giant or from gods and titans. Oh man, did we forget about getting the titans out, or did James get them out and I just can't see them? I don't know. I mean, this is probably the best place to stop, because contemplating belly breathing and yeah, it's just like James kind of teaching the giants how to not belly breathe. That's like something like that would be what a guru would say if I was a guru. Be like, okay, now let's finish up this episode with a few deep belly breaths. I think I have done that. Let's just observe. Let's bring our attention. But seriously, this is an interesting thing to pay attention. I just learned it yesterday, even though I could have learned it at any point in my entire life. But for me, it feels like there's like a little Ziploc bag there that's filling up with air. I never noticed it. Seriously. Till yesterday, when I was trying to wrap my head around something, and I read about it, I said, hey, you could either pay attention to the air flowing in through your nose. My nose is always stuffed. Not always stuffed. 60%, 50%. Another ailment my parents never believed I had. My nose is stuffed. Nah, it's you. You're just that. You just want attention. I got insomnia. Oh, no, no, you just want attention. Hey, I guess I heard that before, huh? Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm going to have some atonement with father and mother soon. But, you could pay attention to that. That's one way of breathing you could be more mindful of, but I can't because I don't do a whole lot of breathing through the nose. Or you can pay attention to the rising and falling of your abdomen, which I have been. So yeah, let's just pay attention to that. And let's drift off into sleep. If you just want to pay attention to that or not. Or you could just kind of... Another thing, there's some thunder going on in the canyon of hell here. Just pay attention to, maybe you could do me a favor, see if the Titans are tucked away anywhere. I don't really have a description of the Titans, but hopefully they're not clashing with anyone. Or you could just get an idea of like how many persons we're dealing with in hell. Okay. Good night.